Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the previous program, we talked about what we are supposed to be doing under the new covenant. As I mentioned, we should be doing the right things for the right reasons. Let me repeat that. We should be doing the right things for the right reasons. And briefly, I discussed these four right things. Number one, accept by faith Jesus' death for the forgiveness of our sins. That's justification. Number two, accept by faith Jesus' life for our righteousness, because he was the only one who lived a perfectly sinless and therefore righteous life. That's sanctification. Accept by faith Jesus' resurrection for our resurrection to eternal life. That's glorification. And four, accept by faith Jesus living in us now by the power of the Holy Spirit to write the law upon the two tables of our hearts and minds. Today we'll cover the first right thing in depth. And the first right thing, again, is accept by faith Jesus' death for the forgiveness of our sins. Now let me ask you a question. Can we do anything to forgive ourselves of sins? Let's take the example of murder. Murder is a sin. Is the solution washing myself in an ocean of water? No. Is it giving my blood, maybe cutting my veins and draining out a bucket full of blood? Is that going to forgive me of my sins? Is that what God is looking for? No. What about paying a large sum of money, millions of dollars? Well, of course, I don't have that anyway, but if I did, would God accept that as payment for my sins? Or what about doing good deeds? What if I said I'm going to go and do community service for the next 70 years of my life? Would that forgive me of my sins in God's eyes? No. Therefore, we have to believe that Jesus' death will remove our sins. Notice how God brings us to this conclusion. Please turn with me to Romans the 3rd chapter, verses 9 through 12. Romans the 3rd chapter, verses 9 through 12. For we have proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeks after God. We have all gone out of the way. We are all together become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. So from God's eyes, on our own power, we can do nothing good enough to forgive ourselves of sin. Now let's read verses 19 through 20. This is verses 19 through 20, still in Romans the 3rd chapter. Now we know that whatsoever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So what God is saying here is, even the good that we would do is mixed with sin, because none of us can live a perfectly sinless life from here on out. And sin brings the death penalty. So the solution to our sins is found in verses 24 through 25. Here it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in Jesus' blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now it's interesting that this word propitiation, where it says that God has set forth Jesus to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, this word propitiation comes from the Greek word hilasterion, hilasterion. And that equals the mercy seat. You can see it translated as mercy seat in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 5. Now, what was the mercy seat? The mercy seat was the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, in which resided the law. So the Ark of the Covenant contained the law written on two tables of stone, which God defined as the covenant. Those are the tables of the covenant. So the Ark of the Covenant contained the tables of the covenant. So again, God had said that it's through the law that there is knowledge of sin. And when we transgress the law, we have sinned. So when we come to the mercy seat, we're actually coming before the law, which has slain us, and God is sitting on top of the law, on his mercy seat, the covering of the Ark of the Covenant in which resided the law, and God is saying, I forgive you of the same sins that this law has taught you about and convicted you of. Now let's notice three other words in verses 24 through 25 that's very, very important. The first word is freely. It said, being justified freely by his grace. Now how did this come? The next important word is Christ. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ. Now how do we receive this free redemption that is in Christ? Through faith in his blood. That's the third important one. So freely we receive this redemption through Christ by faith in his blood. That's the process. That's how we are forgiven of our sins. Now in verse 28 it says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now please move down to chapter 5, verse 1, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, because it continues with the same thought. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the term justification, you know how if you use Microsoft Word and you say you want something left justified, that means all of the sentences start on the left-hand side. If you say you want something right justified, it means that all of the words on the right-hand side of the page are lined up with the right margin. If you don't have it right justified, words can end in one spot on one line and another spot on another line. But if you have it justified, it means it's aligned perfectly. So justification means that we are perfectly aligned with God. So let me read chapter 5, verse 1 again. Therefore, being justified or perfectly aligned with God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this perfect alignment with God brings perfect peace. Now another question. If we have this by faith, then where do works fit into the picture? Because works do fit into the picture. Make no mistake about it. Works do fit into the picture. But where do works fit into the picture? Well, works come after you accept, by faith, Jesus' death for the remission of sins. Works prove you don't want to live in sin any longer. So if you have forgiveness of sins, in other words, if you have forgiveness of committing murder, are you going to go and murder somebody again? No. So our works show God that we appreciate his forgiveness and that we value Jesus' blood. So faith and works are really a matter of sequence. Faith comes first and then works. Now we'll see this in Romans the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 3, and then James the 2nd chapter, verses 21 through 24. Let's start in Romans the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 3, where we see that faith is first. What shall we say regarding Abraham? If Abraham were justified by works, he'd have a reason to glory in his flesh, but even then not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and therefore it was counted to him for righteousness. So there we see it, faith is first. But don't stop there. Faith is first, but there is something second. And what is second? It's works. Let's turn over to James, the 2nd chapter, verses 21 through 24. Was not Abraham justified by works? And what works were Abraham justified by? when he had offered up Isaac his son upon the altar. See how faith combined with works made his faith perfect through works. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. See then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And this is from the word of God. Please don't let any minister, any preacher, any book teach you anything differently. Read what the Bible says. Faith is first, but there are works. Works is second. Here's another example of faith first and works second. How did Israel relate to God? Well, Israel met God through the law and related to God through the law. And this is the law written on two tables of stone, even the Ten Commandments. But Christians relate to God through Jesus Christ. We meet God through Jesus Christ. And there's a huge difference. Let's read in Galatians the second chapter, verse 16. This is Galatians the second chapter, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So there we have it. It's faith first. And that has to do with Christians, how we approach God, how we relate to God. Now in Romans the second chapter, verses 10 through 13. This is Romans chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. Peace to everyone who works that which is good, to the Jew first, then to the Gentiles. There is no partiality with God. As many as have sinned without the law, which are Gentiles, will perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law, which are the Jews, will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are justified in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Now in verse 21 through 23. You Jews who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? There we have it. Work second. God is saying that first you have to relate to him through faith, but then you have to prove your faith by your works. So again, works come after we accept by faith Jesus' death for the remission of our sins. Works prove we don't want to live in sin any longer. Works show God we appreciate his forgiveness and we value Jesus' blood. Faith and works are a matter of sequence. It is faith first and works second. That's how God deals with sin. He wants us first to be forgiven of sins through faith, knowing that we cannot do anything of ourselves to forgive ourselves of sin. It has to be something we accept by faith as a gracious gift from God. But then he wants us to no longer continue in sin, but instead do good works. So remember this saying, we have to do the right things for the right reasons. In the next few programs, we'll cover the remaining three right things in depth. Then we'll move on to the right reasons. Thanks for joining me on this program. May God be in you.